Claremont County's population has grown rapidly in the past couple of decades, and a new study has recommendations for how the county's housing stock can keep pace. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the findings and recommendations from that new study for the county are Claremont County Department of Community and Economic Development Director Chris McClintock, Batavia Township Administrator Karen Swartz, and Urban Partners Principal Isaac Kwan. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Chris, how fast is Claremont County growing, and where is that growth concentrated?
Well, when you look at the statistics from the housing study, we're growing about three times faster than the rest of Ohio.
Wow.
We grew, in the last 10 years, we grew 6% versus 2% on average throughout the state. So, and most of that has been concentrated along the 275 corridor on the western section of Claremont County in Union Township, Miami Township, and Batavia Township.
Oh, goodness. And you said 6% in the last few years, but my understanding is since 2000, it's been like
18%.
That's a lot of growth. Isaac, where did you find all these new residents are coming from?
We study the migration patterns, and the majority or the largest block of households that are moving to Claremont County are actually from Hamilton County. And equally, those that are leaving Claremont County to migrate somewhere else is actually moving to Hamilton County. But it's Claremont County is a net importer of households. So there's a direct relationship, as you can imagine, between Claremont and Hamilton County. But Claremont County is clearly absorbing the expansion of the greater Cincinnati area. So a lot of families, for one reason or another, are, you know, finding Claremont County a great place to live and purchase a home or rent a home.
Karen, what has all this growth meant for Batavia?
Well, it's meant a lot more activity in our area. We have, quite a lot of activity, developers coming in wanting to develop in Batavia Township. So we're close to Eastgate Mall. We're just west of East Fork Lake, so it's just a great area to live, and it's close to the city, too, and to jobs in the Claremont County Economic Development Department's doing a great job making sure our residents have jobs, too. So
yeah, and I think to add that is, I think what we offer is a balance between, like, a small-town charm. We have a lot of beautiful small towns, quintessential little downtowns, with the access to all the metropolitan amenities. You can be in downtown Cincinnati from most of the county in less than 30 minutes.
Mm. Chris, talk about the median household income, what that is in Claremont County compared with Hamilton County and the Cincinnati region.
Sure. Our median household income is right around $81,000. The state of Ohio is roughly $70,000. So we're, roughly $10,000, $11,000 higher than what the state is on average, and higher. I don't know exactly what Hamilton County's is, but I know we're quite a bit higher than what Hamilton County averages.
Yeah. Isaac, it seems like that higher income would mean people could afford higher rents, higher mortgages, but you found there are still plenty of residents in Claremont County who are cost burdened in their housing. Tell us about that.
Yes. Our research discovered that currently, about 19,000 Claremont County households are cost burdened. That's about 26%. And further breaking down is 17% of homeowners and about 37% of renter households are cost burdened. So this data is available for 2023. So in the last few years, as our market analysis show, the costs and the home prices and rents have skyrocketed. So this number, when the new data comes out from the Census Bureau, might even be worse. But as of 23, almost 20,000 households in the county are cost burdened.
We're talking about a new study of housing needs in Claremont County and the recommendations it offers for how the county's housing stock can keep pace with its population growth. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Karen, what kind of housing is available in Batavia Township? I'm thinking about size and cost. What do you have to offer there?
So we offer a variety of housing in Batavia Township. So we have everything from paired patio homes to single-family lot homes. The price ranges for new construction go from like 275 up over 500. So we do try to hit all the market and to offer a variety of housings for everybody's price point and or their lifestyle needs. So if they need a paired patio home with low maintenance so that they're not having to shovel driveways and do things like that, we have it all. And we purposely try to do that. And obviously the market drives some of that. We've had a lot of success with single family homes that are on lots that are maintained by the HOA. People seem to like that. So they get a little bit of yard, but they don't get the responsibility of it. Those are very popular in Batavia Township. But we do also have, you know, some, you know, we have space to grow. So
yeah, we have. The growth is coming, so that's good to have space to grow. What about in Claremont County as a whole, Chris? What are some of the housing offerings there?
I think one of the surprising things from this study is how much multifamily we're seeing constructed right now, and that's based on the market. That's not any incentives we're offering. So I think, you know, we have anywhere from estate-style living to multifamily traditional apartments and everything in between. I think, you know, with the improvements to State Route 32, you know, if you've been through that Eastgate area, it used to be, you know, it could take 20 minutes to get, you know, a couple miles east, and now you can get there in about 5 minutes. So it's really opened up that corridor to the west part of the town or the west part of the county, and I think we're starting to see some more development out that way as well.
And Karen mentioned that there are a lot of single-family homes, these patio homes that are being built. What do you see? You mentioned rental and multifamily. What are you seeing being built most in Claremont County right now? Is it mostly rentals? It's still kind of dominated by single-family?
It's still dominated by single-family residential. And I'm trying to remember. I think wrote this down. As far as permits for multifamily, you know, from 2015 to 2020, I think we had around 900 permits pulled. From 2020 to 2025, we had over 2,000 pulled. So we're seeing a doubling in what we're seeing in the multifamily rental market. And, you know, the goal of the county would be to have, you know, if you want to live in the county from a starter home to retirement, we want you to be able to stay there and have options.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, what did you find in terms of rental homes available in the county right now? I understand from your study that vacancy rates are very low.
Yes. So we catalog and study the vacancy rates for all the multifamily rental complexes, not the individual homes for sale, but professionally managed multifamily rentals. Most of those, about 80%, are concentrated in the western and, as Chris mentioned, in these townships. Overall, we've researched vacancy rates that are sub 3%. The western area where the most are concentrated, they're below 2% vacancy, and generally in a healthy market, about 4 to 5% ish. Is about where the equilibrium is, where that gives enough vacancy and room for people to move, et cetera. But what we've found as of the study was vacancy is very tight, and there's really not that many rentals to pick from in the entire county.
So Isaac, does that explain why the market is creating more rental properties, more multifamily properties, like Chris was just talking about?
Yeah, for sure. So I think generally we need to speak about the general demographic trends of some of the younger people delaying family formation lately, and also, you know, some empty nesters and retirees they want to downsize, and a portion of that group are interested in multifamily and rental living by choice. And some, they aspire to purchase a home, but home prices are going up and up and they're getting out of reach, therefore creating a larger and growing demand for rental housing. So I think that's the trend that we've seen everywhere that we've studied the housing market. And in a growing area like this, the fact that it's been traditionally single family dominated in the county, but you know, there's no surprise for us seeing these multifamily rentals coming in and giving a little more balance to the housing supply.
Chris, one of the goals of the study was to expand housing options for seniors, people who are getting older. You mentioned the county wants people to be able to stay their whole lives in the county. What are some of the what are the needs there? What are you hoping to do there?
For senior housing, we're hoping that if you live in Claremont County now and you're looking, you know, the next 10 years to transition to a senior community, that we have something in your price point. We have something that fits your amenities, everything from market rate down to some subsidized. So we're working on programs now. We were given the housing study a couple months ago. So at the staff level, we're determining what kind of programs we need to incentivize to roll out to assist to have those offerings in the county. So we're doing that work now, and we hope to, by the end of the year, have some policies and programs that we can put out there to incentivize the senior housing.
Isaac, I want to talk about the recommendations in your study, because there are a whole bunch of them. You've got them broken into themes. The first theme is to foster community support for a diversified housing stock. Talk about what that means, what that will entail in the short term and, you know, longer term.
Yeah, so I think that's hinting at the fact that, you know, Claremont County as a whole need to come together to kind of agree on the future pathway to what they believe is a high priority value for them. So in order to accommodate, as Chris mentioned, you know, households of different incomes, different races, different ethnicities and backgrounds and different incomes, you need to create different housing stock, housing supply. Because not, you know, everybody has a cookie cutter kind of housing need. So some need a very small apartment, some need many bedrooms and a big yard. But lately, this is industry wide, nationwide, developer community have been primarily building single family homes for a variety of reasons, macroeconomic and microeconomic reasons. But in order for Claremont County to continue to provide for, you know, throughout life stages, you know, kind of a housing, you need a little bit of everything. You need apartments, you need starter homes, you need senior income restricted senior homes, you need big single family homes. So that, I think the theme for fostering community support speaks about, you know, kind of gaining consensus together. And I think that's the unique role that the county can play as a convener of different communities, jurisdictions, and different advocacy groups and different kind of constituencies to say that, you know, together, you know, we need different kinds of housing. Can we agree on certain sets of goals that we can all work toward together?
Okay, well, the second theme is to target development in growth and high demand areas. Talk about that. Is that not happening already?
Yeah, I think it is happening for sure. I think some of the growth corridors, some of the highways in which where development is concentrating, I think that's a great idea. But I think there's a tendency to continue to not maximize the investment, if you will. So there's always a danger when you're building in greenfields to have a sprawling development pattern. So we think that as more people are coming to Claremont County, the more sensible way to approach that is to have a smart growth strategy, not just build everywhere and anywhere, as long as there's utilities and infrastructure, but build where it creates a sense of place, that where communities are walkable and there's shops nearby, services nearby. So these areas already could be oriented, you know, some of the villages there. I think Town of Batavia, Village of Batavia is a great location. If there's additional efforts to continue to support those areas, not just build on a former, you know, farm and build a subdivision, but to create a sense of efficiency. So, you know, if you're building a housing development, you need to build a lot of roads, a lot of infrastructure. But if you only build, you know, fewer units, it's like flying a jet with only one person. So it'd be better to build in a more you know, kind of a concentrated area where, you know, you're the bank for your public dollar goes further.
Chris and Karen, I want to get your take on that. I'll start with you, Chris. What are some of the infrastructure needs or challenges when you're trying to encourage that development in areas that are growing already versus, you know, buying up farmland, as Isaac
said? The infrastructure is probably one of the biggest challenges in a rapidly growing county, because when our water and sewer lines were first installed, on average, we built those to accommodate two units per acre. And as you can tell by, you know, through the housing study, we have a lot more development than that. So our current capacity is always a challenge for new development. So we have a capital planning program we look through, and that's essentially, the county doesn't control the land use as far as what kind of buildings or what type of structures are built, but we do control the infrastructure. And so we work, that's one of the ways that we can work to sustainably develop the county is in our capital programming for these infrastructure lines, is to make sure that they are done in a way that makes, you know, doesn't create suburban sprawl or additional suburban sprawl.
Karen, is infrastructure a challenge in Batavia Township too?
It has been recently. The challenge is obviously having access to sewer for developments, especially multifamily developments. And that has been a struggle and a cost for the developers that then obviously is passed on to the consumer and the buyer of the property. So we're just always struggling trying to find that, you know, that land for that developer to that has the sewer capacity. So we look forward to any capital improvements that could happen down the road. But as of right now, that's the cost is being carried by the developer. So.
I see. Well, Isaac, another of your goals was to preserve and improve aging housing stock. What's all involved in that?
Yes, that involves recognizing that, you know, some of the housing stock in Claremont County is aging. Many of the homes were built before the war, even. So we're, you know, recommending a, you know, expanding or instituting a home rehabilitation program, possibly a grant or a low interest home loan for homeowners. And also, you know, things like weatherization, replacing windows or roof repair, you know, those kind of things can go a long way into stabilizing the housing stock before it falls into this repair. So I think that has a, you know, kind of fixing broken windows kind of effect on the entire block and, you know, the entire neighborhood. And also, there are instances where rental properties are owned by those who are not very good at or interested in maintaining. So I think ensuring that all the rental properties are properly, you know, enforced in terms of code enforcement, public, you know, safety, and also the beautification aspect as well. So that there needs to be some kind of we're recommending some kind of a code enforcement initiative that these, you know, properties that are not maintained are properly pay attention to.
Chris, is that something you think could help when it comes to affordable quality housing, to really kind of have that code enforcement, those programs in place to keep that aging housing stock up to speed?
Absolutely. Code enforcement is one of the most basic things that we can do to assist in maintenance of those properties. And, you know, I think that the existing houses we have now can really be the linchpin for those first-time home buyers, because, you know, when the housing market picks back up and you're starting to see more private sales, I think you'll be able to still get into a house a lot more affordable. The problem is the folks that are in those houses now don't have anywhere to go. So the folks that want those are now in apartments. So I think the code enforcement, I think programs for first-time home buyers, I think those types of things will really help on our existing housing. Yeah.
I know the fourth goal is to expand housing options for the growing senior population. We've talked a bit about that. Karen, some of the short-term actions or technical assistance from the county, maybe accessory dwelling units and a senior home modification program. Are there a lot of seniors in Batavia Township who could benefit from those kinds of options?
Yeah, I think so. In Batavia Township, we've approved recently an apartment building that's geared towards senior housing. And then we also have a Methodist community that's going to be built on Amelia Olive Branch Road. So I think we're going to meet the needs of the aging population in Batavia Township. And if they come to Batavia Township, we'll meet their needs too. So,
yeah.
I think the zoning, the local zoning too, can address some of like the dwelling units. Like, for instance, I think currently right now we don't allow those. So that's something that we're going to have to look at and see if we can add that to our zoning and try to control it a little bit, but also allow it with multi-generational living and things like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Things are changing.
Yes, yes, the world's changing for sure. And Isaac, I know goal 5 is reduce barriers to entry for first-time home buyers. I know that's a real tricky situation for so many first-time homeowners, home buyers across the country. What do you think the county can do there?
Yeah, this is a tough one. This probably takes all hands on deck kind of thing. But I think there's some of a potential to incentivize with a down payment assistance or working with local banks, some potentially low interest loans for homeowners and some kind of assistance. That's something that many communities are doing across the country, but to a modest level. So when the housing market, the sale prices are going skyrocketing, it's difficult even with those assistance to afford anything. So it is difficult. But I think the longer term action potentially would be working with businesses in a public-private partnership. We've talked to several businesses, and we talk to businesses all the time related to housing needs assistance. But what they say is they have jobs, but it's difficult to recruit employees because there's not quality of housing or availability of housing available. So wouldn't it be great if employers, the business community, including larger institutions, educational institutions or healthcare providers, et cetera, come together with the county, with the state even, and certain agencies to offer some kind of employer assisted program, housing program, for their employees. I think that there's there are case studies that we've profiled in the report, but these are, I think, things that public and private entities can do to reduce the barrier for many families that really want to break into the homeowner market to build wealth for themselves, but in the current market, it's becoming a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah. This has been a great conversation. I know Chris McClintock has got his hands full getting to work
Thank
on
you.
This. I've been talking with Claremont County Department of Community and Economic Development Director Chris McClintock, Batavia Township Administrator Karen Swores, and Urban Partners Principal Isaac Kwan. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.